one of the things that the church says about the Magi, they were the first Gentiles
to come and look for
the Christ. And so, yeah, so you have, I love how you put that. They saw what was written about what was, so there's an element of faith. But then they also looked for confirmation in nature.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so easy for us as modern people to look back at this and say, well, they were just all this, there's all superstition.
Mm-hmm.
How can you look at this scientifically and say, oh, this really happened?
3, 2, 1. Welcome to Love Machine.
Welcome to another episode of Nerding Out with That Nerdy Catholic. I'm Seth Payne, and I'm here with my ever-esteemed co-nerd, Cesar. And we decided to have a special Christmas episode, and we're going to be looking at the Bethlehem Star today. But before we get into that, I want to remind you, if you go to thatnerdycatholic.com, you can sign up for the email list to get updates when we put out new content, anything else happening in the Nerdy Catholic universe. Maybe someday the new Nerdy Catholic multiverse cinematic universe. And if you go to thatnerdycatholic.com/merch, you can get t-shirts. This is one of the other nerdy tees that's on there, the TARDIS and the door from the last battle from Narnia. You can get merch with logos and, you know, mugs and t-shirts and stuff and all that cool stuff. So today we wanted to do a special Christmas episode.
Yep.
And I remember first hearing about some of these theories when I was growing up, I think probably in high school. You know, what was the star that the Magi followed? So if you don't know the story of Christmas, you probably do, but if you don't know, you look at any nativity set, you have, you know, Joseph and Mary and Jesus, mm-hmm. you have the shepherds, you have some animals, and then you have the Magi.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the Bible doesn't say how many there were, but mm-hmm. tradition says there were three.
Yep.
So you see the Magi, and I remember the nativity set that we had growing up, there were the three Magi, and then there was their camel, mm-hmm. the one camel that walked with them. So I had this picture in my mind. I want to ask you what the picture you had in your mind of the Magi when you were growing up. But I had this picture of the Magi of, you know, these three wise men mm-hmm. who are from the East. And I didn't know what the East meant at the time, but they're from the East, and they look up and they see the star and they want to follow it. So they see the star and it stays in this one spot for a mm-hmm. long time, and they follow it. And then they find Jesus, mm-hmm. and then they worship him. What was your image of the Magi when you were growing up?
So I think it's exactly the same. I think in my mind they were kind of important king and wise men at the same time, who decide to follow the stars that guide them through wherever they came to, up to the place that Jesus was born. No,
mm-hmm.
so. And it's always the interesting story, because maybe a little parenthesis here is there's also the story of the fourth Magi that did you?
No, I've never heard that one.
No,
no,
it's very famous. Well, it's not biblical, but there's supposed to be a fourth Magi that didn't get to, so he was lost but he was looking for the king for all his life to find the king finally in crucifixion.
Mm.
So instead of finding him when he was born, he found him in the crucifixion.
Okay, interesting.
But yeah, that's the story of the four Magi. It's kind of also something in my country, no?
Yeah. Well, so as I grew up and I started to learn more about this, you know, the ideas of who the Magi were, I remember learning I can't remember where I learned this, but I remember learning that it's very likely, you know, so they came from the east. And the major civilization to the east of Israel mm-hmm. is Babylon.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's, and Babylon was known to have many magi.
Yes.
And, you know, one of the other words for magi is magician.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why they were seen as wise men. They were seen as magicians. Mm-hmm. They were seen as people that, you know, it says they followed a star. And the magis, they looked to the stars. They were astronomers.
Mm-hmm.
They looked to the stars to measure time, but also to, you know, they were advisors to the king. So if you read the book of Daniel, King Nebuchadnezzar had many magi that were under him,
mm-hmm.
and he would go to them to, you know, there were two different times where he went to them to interpret his dreams.
Yeah.
But he also went to them for their knowledge, looking to the skies and say, mm-hmm. what is going to happen? Am I, you know, he would go to the magi whenever he was thinking of going into battle.
Mm-hmm.
He'd say, can you look to the stars and let me know if I'm going to be successful or not?
I think that those were early time when astronomy was also very mixed with astrology.
Mm-hmm.
So you look at the stars, also you see the position, but the people were also looking at the star for meaning in their mm-hmm. own life. No?
Yeah.
And that's a beautiful thing because although we'll say, well, astrology is not science right now, but mm-hmm. we have to put in the context of at their time, no?
Yeah.
they were trying to look for meaning somewhere, and what a beautiful place to look up and see yeah. the star when they were thinking the gods were.
Yeah, if they don't know what stars and planets are, then seeing things, seeing motions in the sky
mm-hmm.
they have meaning.
Yes.
And also thinking about, you know, the looking at, you know, you look up and now we know the difference between a star and a planet.
Yeah.
But to them, looking up before there were any telescopes, they looked up, all they saw were points of light.
Mm-hmm.
And as we now know, with our understanding of the, you know, the model of our universe that we now understand with our solar system, the sun, the planets going around the sun, and the stars off in the distance, we understand all the motions now.
Mm-hmm.
But before that, when there was an understanding that everything went around the earth,
mm-hmm.
you have the stars and they all go in a circular motion.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very smooth path. But then you have the planets, they'll move forward for a while and then they'll stop and then they'll come back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you hear the phrase in astrology that, you know, when Jupiter was in retrograde.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because that means it stopped and it moved backwards for a while,
mm-hmm.
and then it went back forward again.
Mm-hmm.
So they were called planets because that, I'm trying to remember what language that was first in. It means wanderer.
Mm-hmm.
These planets wandered the sky. They didn't go in a direct path. They just wandered around. So these magi, they had this understanding of looking into the sky to tell the future,
mm-hmm.
to see what's going to happen, to see if there's going to be success or not. And so they're from Babylon. As I say, there's a good chance they're from Babylon. Well, 600 years earlier, or 400, I can't remember the exact number now,
mm-hmm.
but hundreds of years before, the prophet Daniel was in Babylon.
Yeah.
So Israel was conquered by Babylon, and many of their royalty, the higher up in society, many people from Israel were taken as captives to Babylon. And Babylon would take the best, and Babylon was conquering many different,
yes,
different areas of yes. the world at that time, bringing all these different people to their capital.
Mm-hmm.
And so they would pick the best of the best.
Mm-hmm.
They'd say, I want these people in my court. I want these people in my court. And so from Israel, King Nebuchadnezzar picked Daniel, and I'm trying to remember their Hebrew names, Azariah Michelle, and
the other three guys. I don't remember the names right now. Yeah.
So he picked the best of the best, and there were two stories of King Nebuchadnezzar going to the wise men saying, "I've had this dream,"
mm-hmm.
and none of them could interpret them. I remember one of the stories, King Nebuchadnezzar said, "Well, if no one can tell me my dream, I'm going to have you all killed."
Mm-hmm.
And Daniel comes and he says, "I can tell you my dream." And King Nebuchadnezzar says, "Well, if you tell me your dream, if you can tell me my dream, I will make you ruler over all these people." And Daniel says, "It's not me that can tell it. It's only God can tell it. But I will tell you what God tells me to mm-hmm. say." So Daniel is put over, is able to tell King Nebuchadnezzar's dream, and because of that, he's put over all of the Magi.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in this time of his life that Daniel has these visions, these prophecies.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I listened to the Bible in Your podcast with yep. Father Mike, and I remember when we were going through this section of Daniel. And there are some prophecies that a lot of people believed must have been put in years later because of how accurate they were.
Mm-hmm.
That he pinpoints where he's going to be born. He pinpoints when he's going to be born.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have these Magi who are from Babylon, who know of
those prophecies.
Who know of Daniel, mm-hmm. who was over. I mean, he was seen as an important person over the Magi, and he had these very detailed prophecies. So I can just imagine then the wise men knowing of these prophecies, saying, you know, if there's a sign in the sky when he said this is supposed to happen,
mm-hmm.
then that confirms that what he said was true, mm-hmm. and we're going to go and confirm that.
I am amazed that, you know, because all those prophecies are always written and kept, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And those Magi from centuries later after Daniel should have been very familiar with the prophecies. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's something here that is telling me these are people, they didn't know about God.
Mm-hmm.
But they were seeking the truth.
Mm-hmm.
They were avidly looking for truth.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
they find this truth. And what they do afterwards, like they look for confirmation in nature,
mm-hmm.
openly. And when they have that confirmation, they never doubt, this is the king that must be born.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is nicely done. You know?
Mm-hmm.
It's a perfect combination about faith and signs. Mm-hmm. If you see this Magi, no.
Yep, yep.
And you know they were not Jewish.
No,
they were not Jewish.
They were Babylonians.
Yeah.
They were, and as far as the Israelites, the Jews would have known, they were the opposite.
Yep.
You know they were pagans.
Yes.
They worshipped other deities.
They were the Gentile.
They were the Gentiles.
Yeah.
Yes. The last thing I think is so interesting when I learned this about the Magi. We hear about the last detail about the Magi is when they find Jesus, they give him gifts.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember having this image as a kid, like, oh, well, that's nice. You know, they're traveling all this way and they bring him some presents. And so we have this now this understanding that. We now give gifts mm-hmm. on Christmas mm-hmm. because the Magi gave Jesus gifts. I remember when I first learned the significance of the gifts that they gave him. They gave him gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
Yeah.
And those, on one side, those have very interesting significance as far as seeing Jesus as priest, prophet, and king.
Yeah.
But another way of looking at the gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh were tools that they used in their really in their magic.
Yeah.
That they practice this sort of alchemy.
Yes. Yeah.
And so laying these gifts before Jesus was that last step of giving up their old way of life. They learned about these prophecies. They wanted to see if it was true. They saw the star. They wanted to confirm it was true. They went to go. Mm-hmm. They went, and it was a long trek through the desert to go from Babylon to Jerusalem and to Bethlehem. And when they got there, they said, all of this was true all along, and we have to give up our old ways.
Mm-hmm. And by that time, if you remember, they, because of all of that, they found God, they worship God, and by that time the angel said, hey, do not go back for the same time. So by the end of the journey, they were able to speak with the angel of God, which is nice. No? Mm-hmm. You go from some magi, not from the Jewish people.
Yeah.
They were Gentiles.
Yeah.
But they were trying to seek the truth. They were, as best as they know from their signs, looking for truth.
Mm-hmm.
And they finally got it. And they follow the star. They follow the prophecy that was written in Daniel that they must know, because all magi must well, if they were studying really hard, they would be familiar with those, no?
Yeah.
And at the end, find the truth, no? It's beautiful. It's amazing for me how God made himself open, not, you know, just to people with open heart that want to seek him.
Yeah. Yeah.
No?
Yeah.
And that follow the truth.
Yeah.
That's why I like your quote, all truth is God's truth.
All truth is God's truth, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So then the question came up. As I was growing, I was like, what was this star? And you have the image in the nativity scene of this big, you know, cross-shaped star just floating there.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember thinking, well, it couldn't have been like, you know, what are the odds like this star just happened to get really bright for the exact amount of time that they could see it and then follow it all the way to Bethlehem, and then it went away. One of the things about that I remember learning about the when they came is there are a lot of people that believe, you know, you have this image of the wise men traveling to Bethlehem and seeing the baby Jesus. It never says that the wise men go to Bethlehem. It says the wise men find Jesus.
Mm.
And so, you know, there's, and then if you look at the timing, the wise men go and find Jesus, and Herod wants them to tell him where Jesus is.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't. They don't tell him.
Yeah.
They go and they leave another way. And when Herod finds out that they don't, he says, well, now, since I don't know which one it is, all the kids 2 years and younger are going to be killed.
Mm-hmm.
So he's not just born. Mm-hmm. He's probably like 1 or 2 years old.
Yes,
and there's a good chance that they're already back in Nazareth by that point.
Mm-hmm.
But all that aside, you know, was the star up in the sky for 2 years or 6 months?
Mm-hmm.
These are details that the Bible doesn't give us. But I don't think that matters. I don't think it matters if it's. Because they were magi, because they looked to the stars for wisdom, it might have been only up for a short time that they saw it. They say, oh, this is the sign.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have to follow it because they knew the prophecies. They knew
where.
Approximately where.
Mm-hmm.
They knew that Daniel was from the land of Israel, so they knew they had to go to Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And So, and they went and they looked for him. So then the question came to me, well, what was the star? And I remember starting to look this up, and there have been a number of theories, and I don't think there's any way to know which one of these is actually true, mm-hmm. right? But I think it's just so interesting to think about. And so one of the theories was that it was a comet. And the interesting thing about the positive side of the comet is a possibility is a comet, one, it stays in the sky for a while.
Mm-hmm.
It travels in a specific direction.
Mm-hmm.
So they can see it's moving. Mm-hmm. So they can follow it. But one of the downsides, or the reasons why some people think it wasn't the star, was that comets weren't common, but they happened every once in a while. Mm-hmm. People knew about comets, and a lot of people look at different other times when comets were seen in the sky,
mm-hmm.
and they were often seen as pointed to something bad was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
People looked at comets and said, "Oh, that you know, someone's going to be destroyed." Or so that's the downside of that theory. One of the other theories was that it was a conjunction of Jupiter and Saturn.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever you have two planets that come together,
it's brighter.
It gets brighter.
Mm-hmm.
Another theory was that it was a stationary point of Jupiter. So Jupiter, as we were saying, you know, the planets would wander through the skies. And there is a point when Jupiter would come and stop and mm-hmm. move backward for a while and then move forward again.
Mm-hmm.
I think a really interesting reason for this theory was, and that actually also aligns with this the last theory, that it was a conjunction of Jupiter, Regulus, and Venus. So two planets in a bright star coming together. And the interesting thing about this theory. So Jupiter has always been seen as by a number of different peoples as the king
mm-hmm.
of the planet. It's the biggest of the planets. It's the brightest of the planets.
Mm-hmm.
And so you look at C.S. Lewis in the Space Trilogy talks about the Jupiter as the yeah. king of all the planets. Regulus is Latin for prince or little king, and then Venus is a symbol of love.
Mm-hmm.
And so the meeting of these three. Thinking about people that look at the significance
mm-hmm.
of the different heavenly bodies.
Mm-hmm.
That would mean the birth of a king.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this image of love, this image of the king, and this image of a prince
mm-hmm.
coming together, that a king is going to be born. So I think these are all interesting theories. And I think it's really interesting that people are still looking and trying to understand this from a perspective that this is something that really happened. That this star, it was an actual event,
yeah,
in history.
Mm-hmm. The only point that I have to say to that is, you know, the Magi were able to see that because they were looking for some sign
mm-hmm.
avidly.
Mm-hmm.
Herod was looking down on his kingdom, you know,
mm-hmm.
and not looking for any sign.
Yeah.
So that's why he didn't see that.
Yeah.
That's why he wasn't aware of anything until yeah. he received the visit of the Magi.
Yeah.
I think that's a beautiful also message for us
mm-hmm.
that, you know, you were talking about in another episode with John Mark about prudence,
mm-hmm.
about being able to be present and to see what's happening around you.
Mm-hmm.
You know? In that sense, the Magians were really prudent.
Mm-hmm.
They were looking for something yeah. in nature. They were looking up in the sky to find truth, to yeah. find something they really want to find, no? Like, on the other side, we have Herod.
Mm-hmm.
Herod, oh, looking on his kingdom, looking on the things a king have to do. Mm-hmm. And I guess the sky is the same for Herod and from the Magi.
Yeah.
I mean, they are not that far apart, although at that time there's a long way. They are not that far apart.
Yeah.
Herod had also that possibility of looking at the star and know by himself. Yeah. But he didn't, no?
Yeah. When Herod also had access to the prophecies of Daniel.
Oh yeah.
when the Jews came back to Israel from Babylon, when they came out of their captivity, mm-hmm. they brought all of these writings back with them. And they kept copies in Babylon. So that's how the Magi had mm-hmm. them. But they had all these. You know, they read them.
Mm-hmm.
And there were many Jews that looked to them and said, you know, these are important. And, you know, kind of an aside, you know, the first 20 or 30 years of the church after the resurrection mm-hmm. was all Jewish.
Yeah.
There are many Jews that were looking for this. You know, you have the prophetess Anna.
Mm-hmm.
When Joseph and Mary
they went
brought him to the temple.
Yeah.
She was looking forward. Mm-hmm. You know, Zechariah was looking forward
yes.
to the coming of the king. There were a number of Jews that they knew the prophecies. They knew mm-hmm. the rough time about when the Messiah was supposed to come.
Yes.
And so there are many Jews, they were ready mm-hmm. for him to come. Mm-hmm. And so here, you know, one of the things that the church says about the Magi, they were the first Gentiles
to come and look for
the Christ. And so, yeah, so you have, I love how you put that. They saw what was written about what was, so there's an element of faith, but then they also looked for confirmation in nature.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so easy for us as modern people to look back at this and say, well, they were just all this, there's all superstition.
Mm-hmm.
How can you look at this scientifically and say, oh, this really happened?
Mm-hmm. I think you got a very good question here, no? Because first of all, it is a story that is written. It is not only the story that is written, it has a story that began 600 or 400 mm-hmm. years, 400 years before that, that has, hey, this is going to happen, this is going to happen, this is, and you know, Daniel is not the only one, no? And, but then you have different prophecies about the same story in different times, written in different places, no? And then you suddenly have the historical event there, no? So it's nice to see, but this factor is key.
Mm-hmm.
You will see it if you are looking
yeah.
forward it.
Yeah.
I mean, you can be like Herod. Herod was Jewish.
Mm-hmm. No? He should have been expecting, yeah.
But he wasn't looking.
Yeah.
That's the important thing,
yeah.
no? Yep. And I like to think that as the truth will be revealed to you, if you are seeking with open heart to know the truth,
mm-hmm.
like in the last episode we were talking about preconceived notions, no?
mm-hmm.
and how your the conception of your world will determine how you will formulate your hypothesis.
Mm-hmm.
This is exactly the same.
Mm-hmm. No?
Do you look with open heart, or do you already put a mental block saying mm-hmm. this is the reality and that's what I'm going yeah. to look forward only?
Yeah.
No?
Yeah.
So that's really important, because the Magi start to read and they look with open heart
yeah.
and they find the truth. Yeah. No?
So this brings me to the last thing that I want to talk about in this episode. And a coworker of mine shared a quote from this book, and I don't know anything about the book, but this quote sounds really interesting, and so I'm definitely going to get this book and read it, and maybe at some point we can we can do something on this. But Father Stephen Freeman, he wrote this book about, it's about 10, 12 years ago, Everywhere Present, Christianity in a One-Story Universe. So I want to read just a few paragraphs.
Go ahead.
I have come to think of this modern cultural construct as the two-story universe, so the modern cultural construct that we're in. It is as though the universe were a two-story house. We live here on Earth, the first floor, where things are simple things and everything operates according to normal, natural laws, while God lives in heaven, upstairs, and is largely removed from the story in which we live. To affect anything here, God must interrupt the laws of nature and perform a miracle. Exactly how often he does this is a matter of debate among Christians and many others within our culture, often measured by just how conservative or liberal their religion may be. The effects of this distance are all-encompassing in the area of religious experience and belief, and frequently in other areas as well. So we live in the world, this is the first floor, and God lives up on the second floor, and he is removed from us, and I like how it says it here. To affect anything here, God must interrupt the laws of nature and perform a miracle. So breaking something to do anything. With the universe divided and its secularly conceived components dominating our life, the transcendent begins to elude us, and the world begins to drown in a sea of literalism. In the ultimate banality of the secular world, what you see is what you get. Time becomes chronology, and history triumphs over all. True eschatology, the moment-by-moment inbreaking of the kingdom of God, ceases to have a place within the Christian world. Scripture becomes lost in constant battle between opposing camps of literalists, those who believe literal history negates the Bible, and those who believe the Bible is literal history. I love that image of those, the two literal views. You know, either we look at history, we look at science, all this, you know, everything that we've learned, and it negates the Bible, or we have to look, like we said in our last episode, we have to have a literal view of everything in the Bible. This bifurcated universe is not the legacy of Christianity, but a deviation from its legacy. The accidents of politics and philosophy have reduced our understanding and experience of human existence. But such sad turns in human history are not the final word. The witness to a deeper Christianity and a world in which God is everywhere present and filling all things has not disappeared. Now he's talking about the book that he's writing. This book is an effort to draw back the curtain and look at both the emptiness of our present understanding and the fullness of our Christian inheritance. It would seem to me that anyone who comes from a sacramental tradition should feel a certain cognitive dissonance with the sounds and images of secularized thought. For the God who took flesh and dwelt among us is surely the same God who continues to take common things like bread and wine, oil and water, as well as men and women, and make them the instruments of his presence among us. For he is indeed everywhere present in filling all things. I remember having that image growing up of God doing miracles, and those miracles saying, okay, well, God just had to suspend the laws of nature to do to do these miracles. And realizing that image puts the laws of nature above God, right? If that's how you see what a miracle is, the suspension of the laws of nature, then God is subject to those laws, right? And so this goes back to, you know, as we've talked in a few episodes, why we want to do this, you know, that Nerdy Catholic. We want to explore this larger worldview that includes God's working in the world, but it also includes us exploring the world through science. It's not an either or, like we talked about in our last episode. It's not an either or of either we can understand the world through science, and we can explore, and we can always be deepening our understanding of the world around us through experimentation, through observation. But we can also look at the story of the Magi and say that's true. You know, like you're talking about, you know, the last episode that we a couple episodes ago, with John Mark, you know, looking at this idea of what is true and what does it mean for something to be true. You know, to say that something is true is not just to say I can scientifically prove it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like we've quoted a number of times in our episodes that scene from Contact,
mm-hmm.
where Matthew McConaughey's character says, you know, did you love your dad? Well, prove it.
Yeah.
You know that you love someone. You know that someone loves you.
Yes.
You can't prove that scientifically.
We almost forgot that, you know, among all the kind of knowledge, science is just a little piece of a big puzzle of knowledge that you start acquiring where you start thinking.
Mm-hmm.
With philosophy being one of the, you know, bridgestone, the cornerstone of all science. You start with philosophy, you start thinking, and then you start developing math, you start developing logic. One of those knowledge, one way to acquire knowledge about the nature, and that we talk about that several episodes ago, it's natural philosophy, thinking about nature.
Yep.
No?
Yep.
And right now, it seems to me that the only thing that matters is science, which is just a little part of all the knowledge that we can get. No, but the story of the Magi, it's something more profound, more beautiful, because here we go, people with open heart, with the best at that time that they can know about science.
Yeah,
we cannot judge with our knowledge right now.
Yeah.
20 centuries later. Yeah. But the best of what they know at their time, looking for truth.
Mm-hmm.
And what did they found? They found the maker of heaven and earth as a little baby.
Yeah.
Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah. And just a little reflection to just say, how amazing then that the infinite God became one of us.
Yeah.
And came and dwelt among us, and it's so easy to have an image of God as just this all-powerful being that just stands up, you know, out in the heavens, running everything.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at the image of the gods and all of the other nations at the time in the ancient world. That was the image that they had of the gods.
Yeah,
these. Kind of indifferent, you know, looking at people like ants.
Mm-hmm.
But this realization that God isn't just infinite, all-powerful, all-knowing, but all that loves us is love, and would go from being just, you know, the infinite God to being the infinite God who became the finite man to be with us.
Yeah.
And I think that's, you know, that's really the most important message of the story of Christmas.
Yes, definitely. That's the most important message. So, I agree with you.
And as you said, that the Magi, with their best understanding of the world and of science, combined both of those worlds to find the king and to lay their gifts before him.
Yeah.
Well, I hope you enjoyed this conversation. This, as I said, this is why we're doing this, looking at these intersections of reason and faith and science and philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say that in the past 6 months, making these videos and having these conversations, I feel like my perspective on the universe and on even on God has changed.
Mm-hmm.
Looking at seeing all these places where these intersect, as you said a few times, I keep getting a wider and wider picture of the infiniteness of God.
Mm-hmm.
The more we understand about the universe, the more we see what God is like.
Yeah.
And you know, through what he created.
Yeah. And the beautiful thing is we can continue exploring.
Yes, we are going to keep exploring.
Yes.
And I hope you keep exploring with us. So I want to thank you for joining us again today. I hope this, you know, that you're able to take this and use your imagination to look at the wise men and see them in a little bit of a different light, more than just the little figures in the nativity set. But I want to remind you, if you go to thatnerdycatholic.com, you can sign up for our email list and get updates when we put out new videos and anything that changes in the Nerdy Catholic universe. If you go over to thatnerdycatholic.com/merch, you can get t-shirts, mugs, other cool stuff. Please subscribe to this channel, like it, share it with your friends, and we'll see you next time.
Yeah, Merry Christmas,
and
God bless you.
God bless.
System shut down.